Good morning, everybody. Especially dads. Very happy Father's Day. I hope you're going to get spoiled rotten today. Yes, indeed. Putting it out there. Talking about fathers, I have a really cool announcement for us. So Philip, who we all know, is he here? No. So I can say what I want. Oh, I love that. It's my favorite. So Philip is turning 90 this year. And is facing a few health issues. Don't go woo there. And so what he has decided is to actually begin to withdraw from more and more from public ministry. And so from an official point of view, he will no longer be preaching. He may hopefully have moments once in a while to bring that gift to us as a community. But as a whole, he will be withdrawing from that. But what's really exciting is that in order to celebrate his very last preach, we, as Liberty, are joining his other family, All Saints Anglican Church. He's going to be preaching there in two Sundays' time, so the 29th of June at 5 p.m. And we are going to go into the house of the Anglican Church. We are going to all look like Julius. No, I'm just joking. Julius is probably thinking, finally, a real church. It's fascinating. And so there will be comms going out. We are going into their home, and so we want to honor everything as much as we can. At the same time, Charmian says, please don't overdress, otherwise we're going to be the weird ones. And so comms will go out just to help us, just to be a great blessing to serve them as a community. But I really want to ask that every one of us gets there. This is a monumental moment in Philip's life. He has served the Bride of Christ for, I think, 60 years. And so that's been absolutely amazing. And so even in their communication is really beautiful. By God's incredible grace and goodness, Bishop Philip will turn 90 in November of this year. Bishop Philip feels that he needs to drastically reduce active involvement in ministry as well as in his preaching schedule. To this end, the cathedral will host a special service of thanksgiving on Sunday the 29th of June at 5 p.m. for his ministry that spans more than 60 years. We will be joined by members of the congregation of Liberty Family Church, where Bishop Philip and Charmian are well known and regularly take part in services and events. Please join us for this special celebration. How cool is that? Absolutely. I think it's a monumental moment, I really do, in the life of Liberty. The dean there is retiring, and so even if nothing further comes from this, I still believe that this is going to be an incredibly beautiful picture of the body of Christ coming together in unity to celebrate somebody who has poured their life out for the upbuilding and the good of the local church. And so I really want to encourage us, let's get there. As if it's our service, it's going to be absolutely amazing. So that morning, we're going to have a combined, it's a prayer and worship morning, and would also want to encourage us to get to that we can pray for that time. I think it's going to be monumental in both of our church's lives, and so I really want to commit it all to the Lord. So pretty exciting, yes? Really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing. So today we are going to be looking at more and more the Holy Spirit. It seems that the season that the Lord has been taking us through, I think starting with our family camp, our time away of drawing near to God, guiding us along the path of a renewed understanding and appreciation for the significance of the Holy Spirit. I feel like his significance in the life and ministry of Jesus, as well as the life and ministry of those who call themselves followers of Jesus, for those who want to set out to live like him, I feel like God is highlighting to us just how necessary the Holy Spirit is to our lives and to our ministries. And so we went into a space of looking at the book of Galatians. Trust we all remember that. It wasn't that long ago. But what we realized from that is that we can do absolutely nothing to contribute towards our salvation. Yes? It is all the work of God. And so we come to a space of recognizing that it is by faith alone in Jesus that we are saved, and that his finished work was acceptable to the Father, and that his life was pleasing to him. We then move from that to looking at Jesus saying it is better that I go away, that as he ascends, that he says he's going to send a helper to us, and that Jesus' ascension was not his abandonment of his work, but it was actually him multiplying his work through us, the church. We then saw last week, as Matt helped us unpack the Pentecost, that this plan reaches a pivotal moment when, as promised in Acts 1 verse 8, the Holy Spirit descends, remember those tongues of fire, empowers the disciples to be his witnesses to the end of the earth, and then through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Jesus establishes his plan to take place, to rescue people, to expand the kingdom of God through you and me, the church, through all saints, the church. And that's part of his plan to continue his work. He says that God has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body. And this line, which blows my mind every time, that we happen to be the fullness of him who fills all in all. That was his plan, to use you and me to fill all in all and to continue his work. And so the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is Jesus' chosen vessel to continue his work of ministry, to embody his presence and to embody his mission and continue it until his return. And so the Holy Spirit is very much part of the gospel message, yes? He's not a late add-on. Jesus wasn't like, yes, I've got this plan. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you just tag on to this plan that I have? He is very much part of it. He's not an optional extra for us. And so we read in Luke 24, he says, "See, I am sending you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And so the Holy Spirit is the promise. And so it's very appropriate that we're celebrating Father's Day, but where we usually get gifts for the Father, the amazing generosity of our Heavenly Father is that he gives gifts. And so he's given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Without him, we are unable to be saved, number one. And without him, we are unable to proclaim the kingdom of God. Do you recognize that? Without him. And so that pressure that you feel to proclaim the kingdom of God ought to make you feel insecure and unable to do it, because without the Holy Spirit, you are unable. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need him to live fruitful and vitalized living lives. We have to have the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus gave gifts to build up the church. His ascension and the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost were strategic moves by him. You know, Jesus doesn't do anything accidentally. He doesn't mess anything up. He strategically ascended and strategically at Pentecost poured out his Spirit. And each of us, Paul writes to the Ephesians, was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself captive. He gave gifts to his people. Isn't that encouraging for us? Very encouraging. A God who knows everything, is all-powerful, gives us gifts. And so surely those gifts are important. And so these spiritual gifts poured out through the Holy Spirit are certainly not for personal gain. If there's anything we learned about Jesus' life, it was not for his personal gain. He poured himself out for you and for me, for all of humanity. And so we need to understand and recognize that when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, it's not for our own good. It's to pour out our lives for the good of those around us. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. It's not about us. It's about building up this beautiful body. It's about us being built up. Those days when you arrive here and you're just like, oh, that's such a week. And the people come around you and they build you up again in the faith. Every believer has been entrusted with a spiritual gift. Yes? Do you truly believe that? I know there's some people who don't. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. The Lord hasn't given me anything. But if the scripture is true, every single one of us has been given a Holy Spirit gift. Whether teaching or serving, whether it's encouraging or leading, whether it's to show mercy, you have been entrusted with the spiritual gift to strengthen the church, to build this dwelling place for God, as Matt highlighted for us last week. What a beautiful thing that God dwells here with us. And you've been gifted, and you need a Holy Spirit gift to build this thing. Because the Lord will not live in anything built by human hands. We need the Holy Spirit to build up this body. To make known the wisdom of God in its rich variety to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly place. That's quite a big call for us, yes? To make known the manifold wisdom, how amazingly glorious He is going to require something supernatural. It's going to require a spirit that comes from heaven to empower us to do that. And so spiritual gifts, number one, are not natural gifts, and they're also not learned gifts. The gifts given by the Holy Spirit are not natural gifts, and they are not learned gifts. I'll talk about that in a second. They are Holy Spirit given. He gives them as a gift. No earthly strength, only Holy Spirit empowering, can impact heavenly places. That's what the manifold wisdom of God is being shown to the heavenly places. Nothing on earth can do that. We're made of dust, John O'Red. And so dust doesn't impress anybody. We need something from heaven to empower us to prove and to show the manifold wisdom of God. Only power from on high can enable us to be effective ministers of the gospel. No amount of training, no amount of sucking yourself up, no amount of bullying can get you to minister the gospel in a way that will impact lives. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a logical conclusion that if we must be clothed with power from on high before we can be His witnesses, and if this clothing with the Holy Spirit gives grace according to the measure of Christ's gift to each of us, then it makes sense why Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed. You've got to know. If we cannot continue the ministry of Jesus without the Holy Spirit, without understanding our gifts, Paul's like, you need to understand this stuff. And so this is leading us as a church over the next few weeks into looking at spiritual gifts. Now, we have to be very cautious not to end up focusing on the spiritual gifts, because the gifts themselves will not do anything. It's Jesus alone. But the gifts are what God is empowering us with to make Jesus the center of attraction. And so let's just make sure that through this whole process, we don't get confused by making the gift the thing. But Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed. So we're going to spend the next few weeks getting informed about the spiritual gifts. And often, I know even I've said, life group, discipleship group, equip groups is the space where you get to explore and discover your gifts. We're actually just going to do that practically as a whole church together. Good to do that? We're going to explore what it is that the scriptures say. We are unashamedly using a podcast series from a church called Sanctus in America, Canada, somewhere over there. Nothing good can come from America, I know that, but this is pretty good. And so what we want to do is we want to take what they're saying, we want to learn what they have learned through the scriptures, and we want to shape it and inform it for us as a community, and hopefully and trusting that it'll be an absolute blessing to us, that we can get on with ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ effectively. Are we keen for that? Good. I'm very excited for that. And so we're going to explore these gifts. We're going to explore how they function within the body. We're going to help try and identify them for each of us. We're going to try and see how we can activate them and get on practicing them, because there certainly is a skill that comes with the gift, but the gift itself is a gift given by God, and so you can't tell Him what to give you. Yes? There are moments where I'm like, Lord, right now you need to just turn me into an evangelist, please. And guess what He says? How about no? He says no, because He has already chosen, He has predetermined the gifts that He will give me. So what happens if I need to be an evangelist in a moment, but I have not been given the gift of evangelism? What happens? If you don't have the gift, it becomes a discipline. Yes? So for those who are gifted in evangelism, I mean, everybody should be evangelizing, right? Come on, it's so easy. Hey, Jimmy, you just go speak to random people. You just do it. You just very quickly turn the whole conversation into Jesus. And Justine's going, yeah, it's not that easy. For her, it's a discipline. She has to learn from the Jimmies of the world. She has to learn what it means to be an evangelist and has to discipline herself to do the work of an evangelist when the moment calls for it. And so we either are gifted or it becomes a discipline. And so we need to keep that in mind because none of us are excused from evangelism. We all have to be witnesses. But our witnessing is empowered by the Holy Spirit, specifically in the gift that God has created you and given you to use for the gospel to be proclaimed. And so it's going to be important for us to understand what it means to be empowered, but what it also means to be disciplined when God has not gifted us with a particular gift. And so we will be embarking on this journey together. We're going to be looking at love being the greatest gift or the empowerer of the gifts. We're going to be looking at administration, helps, and giving. We're going to be looking at mercy, celibacy, and martyrdom. We're going to be looking at teaching, exhortation, and apostleship. We're going to be looking at leadership, pastoring, and evangelism, faith, discerning of spirits. We're going to be looking at the gift of prophecy, of tongues, interpretation of tongues, healings, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, intercession, and miracles. Pretty cool list, right? It's what's required if we're going to show the manifest wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God to the world. We want to understand. These are the ones that are listed in the Bible, and we want to see what the Bible has to say about them and trust God to use these gifts that he gives to his people for the proclaiming of the gospel. And so my aim, I'm hoping just for today, is to stir up in us a desire for the gifts. To stir in us going, God, if you want to give good gifts, we want them. If we need your empowering to proclaim the gospel, and I don't think there's anyone in this room who doesn't want to proclaim the gospel. I think everyone in this room wants to see people come to Christ, wants to see people understanding the saving work of Jesus. If you weren't, you wouldn't be here. That's why we're here. And so God wants to empower us to do that, but each one of us, he has gifted differently to do that, and we want to help one another to discover that and to see how that can work itself out in this community. And so I want to also take Paul's encouragement to Timothy and encourage us with that. He writes this to Timothy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. Sounds like Galatians, yes? Trust in Jesus alone, there's nothing else we have. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle, Matt, last week, the fire, rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. That's what's required, the power of God, for us to be fellow spirit-indwelt saints. What Paul is saying that the active disciple of Jesus looks like is one who is full of faith, one who is indwelt by the Spirit, one who is fired up with the Spirit-given gifts, which are being worked out in courage, being worked out in power, being worked out in love, being worked out in self-discipline. Confident in Christ's testimony, willing to suffer for the gospel, relying on the power of God. That's quite an ask. That is quite an ask for us. And it is such a high ask and a high calling, no wonder we need the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we can't live that life. But Paul's expectation for every saint is to live a life where the gift that's been given to us is fired up, that we can proclaim the gospel with courage and confidence that he is going to work through us. And so in this season, the Lord is guiding us along the path of a renewed understanding, a renewed appreciation for the significance of the Holy Spirit, his significance in the life and ministry of Jesus, and thus the life and ministry of the Christian who sets out to be like his or her master. That's what we want to do. We just want to be like Jesus, that's all. Not complicated, just be like Jesus. But before we can look at specific Holy Spirit gifts, which we will start to do from next week, we will need to look at Jesus' own declaration of the purpose that he had the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a great place to start? Jesus, if you had the Holy Spirit and you got on with your ministry, when we have the Holy Spirit, what is that ministry that we are to continue? And so grateful because from his very own mouth, he says, he began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. And here it is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So this is why we have the Holy Spirit. Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Imagine Jesus, and then he rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant, and he goes to sit down. The eyes of all of the synagogue are fixed on him. Then he begins to say to them, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Already beginning to doubt. Now Jesus is quoting Isaiah 61. And this is Isaiah 61. It's important for us to read what he's quoting. And it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, release to the prisoner, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," and he adds this in Isaiah, "and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord." Why? To display his glory. Sounds like us. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Amen? Priests of the Lord and ministers of God, already predicted by Isaiah hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus. And so we are rescued to continue this work. That's why we're rescued. For Jesus to multiply his effectiveness on the planet. And so the three things he talks about are bringing the good news, and our modern terminology for that would be mission or evangelism. Bring the good news to people. To proclaim or to preach liberty or release. That talks about these gatherings where we worship together, we read the word together, we proclaim freedom, we remind ourselves of the glory of God, and to recovery of sight to the blind or binding up the brokenhearted. And so we're called to discipleship and we're called to care for one another. That, in essence, is the full summary of what we do as a community, what we do as a church until Jesus returns. We love one another. We care for those who are hurting. We proclaim the gospel. We gather like this to praise God and for us to learn and remind ourselves of the freedom we have in Christ. And we go and proclaim the good news to those who don't yet know it. Pretty simple, yet impossible without the empowering of the Spirit. These are like the three banners that as a church we live under. Every Christian, every follower of Jesus lives under. Some of us were born with amazing natural gifts, yes? Like my golfing gift, absolutely natural. I mean, there's no question about that. Definitely not natural. Some of us are born with amazing natural gifts. Some intellect, some with physical strength, some with singing voices, some with business prowess. We all have something that few others have. And so if you look at Lyndon, he's going to be my object lesson this morning. He is gifted with making things with his hands. Yes? Anything. Put any kind of a material into his hand. It'll take him a day or two to fully understand it, but he will be able to produce pretty much anything if you need something physical made. Almost any medium, he has a natural knack to do. He was born with that. But we also have learned skills. Skills acquired through hard work and through dedication. And so Lyndon might have a natural ability to work with anything in his hands, but he's learned the skill of working specifically with wood. So he's applied time, he's applied dedication, he's worked hard with that. I'm sure the first thing that came off of his lathe, I'm sure his dad was like, well done, my son, lovely. But now, even his worst work that comes off the lathe, we're all like, how much must we pay for that? And it's amazing. The stuff that comes off of his lathe is absolutely incredible, but he's committed time to it. He's committed dedication and he's learnt. But neither natural gifting nor acquired gifting can bring the good news of Jesus. We can look at those things that come off the lathe and go, that is amazing. It tells you nothing about Jesus. It doesn't. It doesn't bring recovery of sight to the blind. Sometimes opposite. It doesn't proclaim liberty and freedom to people. But of the Ephesians 5 gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, which do you think is Lyndon's gift? Pastor, yes? If he hears of anyone struggling with anything, immediately he's like, how can I go see them? This is immediate response. And he's going to do anything. He'll drop whatever I need to be with him. That brings freedom. That proclaims Jesus, the good news. That gift of his, he can certainly leverage his workshop, and I think he does that pretty well. I mean, people just come in there and they're like, wow, they're already available and open to the gospel. But the gospel comes when he brings his pastoring gift to speak the life of Jesus, to bring comfort, to comfort the brokenhearted. That's what the Holy Spirit has gifted him with. And so we need to just understand that there are differences between our natural gifts, and sometimes they co-labor. So some people are naturally good at public speaking. Doesn't make them a preacher of the gospel. Some people are not great public speakers, but by being empowered by the gospel, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the moment they have a mic, it may not be perfect Paul. I mean, we think of Paul as this amazing, like, flashy lights behind him as he preaches. By his own self-admission, he wasn't a great public speaker. But people got converted and people got changed and churches got planted because that is the Holy Spirit gift given to him. And so what we're looking for over the next few weeks is to find out what it is that the Spirit has given each one of us, that would come out through whatever mechanisms. Maybe it's through our workshopping and woodworking, whatever. We can use those as platforms. But to understand what Holy Spirit gift God has given each one of us. And God also gives, the scripture says, in the degree that he determines. And so just because two people may have a teaching gift, they're not going to teach the same. And that's okay. The Spirit's, I've given you this amount of teaching. You're going to lead a discipleship group or an equip group, and that is the grace that I have given you. Now, we can take that gift, and we can multiply it by practicing it, by praying about it, by spending time in it. We can multiply that gift, as the Scriptures call us to do. But there's also no expectation beyond that. We don't all have to begin to preach like Matt. He's been given a very specific amount of grace for preaching. But that doesn't mean that if you're not as good as him, that you don't need to preach either. You've got to take the gift that God has given you and exercise it for the building up of this body. So, what if I don't have a specific gift, you might ask? I've already answered that one. If it's not a gift to us, it becomes a discipline. And so we may not have, and we likely don't have all the gifts. There's no one who has all the gifts, otherwise Jesus would have just left one person. But he doesn't. He's all of us. We need all of us to minister together with our different gifts to see the building up of the body of Christ. So for some it's a gifting, for the rest of us, we have to discipline ourselves and learn how to administer the Spirit through these various ways. Question 2, what if I don't know what gifts I've been given? What if I don't know the gifts that the Spirit has given me? We'll be going through individual gifts that I have mentioned already over the weeks. And so as we are going through them, I want you to ask yourself, does that sound like me? There is a test, but even Sanctus, who put the test together, says the tests are not If you can identify your gift without the test, rather do that. Rather see what the Spirit's doing through you rather than being able to manipulate a test, which I think we've all learned through school. Not all of us, only some of us. So there will be one, but we want to spend this time figuring out what gift each one of us has been given. And so we want to come to the end of this with each one of us going, at least with this gift, I want to exercise it and see if the Spirit has given this gift to me. Are we all up for that? Yeah. It's going to take courage, but let's trust God. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually as the Spirit chooses. We can't tell him what we want. We can desire it. We can seek him. And sometimes maybe that desire in us is an indication of what he has given us. But if not, we're not going to manipulate the hand of God to give us gifts. He's already given them. We're here to discover them. What have you given me, Lord? Help me to see it. And then we are to encourage each other's gifts. Just because the gifts are different to us doesn't mean they're useless. I know some of you are going, pastoring, what? Yeah, Lyndon, you go spend time with people. It's like, I'd much rather spend time with numbers than administration. Give me stuff. We need them all. We need all the gifts to operate together for the building up of the body. What if I believe, question three, that spiritual gifts have ceased after the apostles? What if you believe that spiritual gifts have ceased? I respect that there are folks who have experienced abuse of spiritual gifts in a church. And so what I want to ask you is to come with an open heart and an open mind and say, God, would you renew my thinking? If I get through this and I land at the other side going, no, it is true that these gifts have ceased, then that's okay. But can I ask that we, in this time over the next few weeks, drop those walls, Holy Spirit, please help those walls to drop. Drop our defenses and say, teach me the truth of your word, Lord. I want to understand. I also respect that there are some who have grown up in churches that believe the gifts have ceased. And I say believe and not taught because it's a belief and not a teaching. I've spoken to many what they call cessationists. So they're the ones who believe that the gifts have stopped. They do believe you need the Holy Spirit to be saved, but that the actual outworking or manifestation of the gifts have stopped. And I've sat with them and asked them, where do you get that from? And their answer is, because I don't see them happening around me. And that's a valid conclusion to come from that, right? Like, I'm not saying that you can't say that. You can say that. If you've never seen the gifts in operation around you, I'm going 100%, then you can believe that they've stopped. But you can't teach that from the scriptures, because no line in the scriptures say that they have stopped. And so if you may have come from a church that's raised you like that, then I want you again, just for the next few weeks, to say, God, I'm taking it at your word that the gifts are continuing. And if you get to the end of it and you go, actually, everything you've mentioned I haven't seen and I don't think I will ever see, I still believe that they have ceased, that's fine. But let's journey together through the scriptures and say, God, just show us if there is something that needs to change in us, help us to change it. But we want to understand. As Paul says, you need to understand this stuff. And so let's go on that journey together. Jesus himself only ministered the gospel by the power of the Spirit. He laid down his godness. He did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but he laid it down as a demonstration that that is the life that we can live. Obviously imperfect, because none of us was going to get through all of his temptations perfectly. But if Jesus was and used the full power of God when he was on this planet, not much of his life we can actually go, there's no guarantee for us that we'll rise from the dead. Because if he took on his godness, there's no guarantee for us. But the scriptures say he became exactly like you and me, so that everything he went through can be for us a hope for the future. That as he was raised from the dead, well, if he did, we can, because he was exactly like us. If God took him up and said, then that'll happen to us because he was exactly like us. And so if he pleased the Father and served all of those things that we mentioned by the power of the Spirit, that means it's available for us. And we have to have the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in our own power. And so to minister by the Spirit is to minister in love. This we're going to have to remember, and we will touch on as we're going along. This isn't just about having our gifts and just pew, 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 right? No, with love, with peace, with patience, with joy, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control, all of these things are going to be the manner and the atmosphere in which the gifts of the Spirit are activated and lived out. Love does not force anything on anyone. It doesn't. And even with the gifts of the Spirit, Jesus, so often, and it breaks your heart when you see him talk to the rich young ruler, what does he say? One thing you're lacking, sell everything and follow me. And he was sad because it was too much of a cost for him. And he walked away. Jesus could have grabbed him and said, my brother, I'm going to disciple you for the next 3 weeks to help you to understand that this money is not going to save you. He didn't. He declared the truth to him and said, now you need to make a choice. And so none of this is going to be forced on anybody. We're going to look at the scriptures. We're going to say, Holy Spirit, if you are a spirit of love, we want to know how to exercise these gifts in the spirit of love. And so we're going to trust God to help us. Jesus drew near to the Father, and he walked out his ministry in community. If we're going to fully understand how these gifts are to be used for the gospel, we need to draw near to God over the next few weeks, and we need to do this in community. That was the whole point, my body, to identify one another's gifts and to see them in operation. So if you're not part of a discipleship group, you're not part of an equip group, I want to ask you to commit over the next while to find a gathering of Christians to walk this stuff through over the next few weeks. You can't do this in isolation. It just doesn't work like that. And so I want to encourage you. There's lists somewhere once the altar opens. And there's papers of discipleship groups and equip groups. Please find them there. I really want to encourage you to get to a space of community, at least over the next few weeks until we get to the end of this. Last thing I want to say is that character needs to keep up with our gifting. Character must keep up with our gifting. If it doesn't, all of us are flawed, yes? If our character does not keep up and we are not transformed by the Spirit, the growth in our gifting is going to highlight those cracks and we are going to fall apart. And so as a community, that's why you have to be in communities, because you have to have brothers and sisters holding each other accountable. Matt, that word that you brought was so true to Scripture, but the way that you try to force that on the people is not the character of Christ. You need to adjust that. But if Matt's in isolation and he's just like, I'm so gifted, rock and roll, and just smash everyone with the gospel, that is not the intention. His character must keep up with his gifting. And I am old enough now, I can say, to see enough church leaders fall with amazing gifting. And you might think, yeah, but that's fine. They've just lost their ministry. No, it's not just fine. Hundreds and thousands of followers of Jesus have been hurt and disillusioned in the process. And that's not okay. We're not going to be part of that process. We're going to bind up the brokenhearted, but we're not going to make the brokenhearted. And so, I want to encourage us to stay together in community, to be vulnerable to one another, and just go, listen, in the expression of my gift, do you see any cracks? And this is a very kind church. I probably, no, definitely not, but this one little thing maybe we could just work on. Let's ensure that our character keeps up with our gifting. To minister by the Spirit is to live a life of service and sacrifice to God and to one another. And that's what we're going to learn. We're going to learn that these gifts enable us to live a life of service and sacrifice. And so we are going to need the Holy Spirit. And so it's Father's Day. And the Father gifts his Spirit to all who ask. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, let me have 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. He answers from within, don't bother me. The door's already locked. I'm in children. My children are in bed. I'm in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. He's so bothersome that the guy's like, I just want to sleep. Let me give you the bread. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. For everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, and some of you probably would, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? It's Father's Day. The Father wants to give you the Spirit, but He gives it to those who ask. King Jesus, as we hold this bread and as we hold this juice, a reminder to us of the symbols of your plan for redemption. Part of the process of you laying your body down and pouring out your blood, the blood of the new covenant. One that means no longer do we need to be obedient to the law, but that by the power of your Spirit, the law is written in our hearts, written on our minds. There's a new desire in us to live lives that are holy, to live lives that are glorifying to you, and to live lives that bring you good pleasure. And you had to die for that. You served all of humanity, even to the point of death. And you did that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we know that when we ask you to give us the Spirit and to empower us by the Spirit, that we are entering into a life that may be laid down in death for the cause of your gospel. But God, there is no greater calling for us than to be called sons and daughters of the living God. And so while we may do it with fear, we may do it with nervousness, we know that there is no place we would rather be than in your presence, serving your will. And so God, as we look forward to the next weeks, would you remind us and empower us by your Spirit that all of this is to be done in love, all of this is to be done in a life of service, and a life of sacrifice. Nothing inside of us desires that except the empowering of your Spirit. And so we are desperate to ask you for the empowering of your Spirit. And we will keep on knocking, we will keep on asking, and we will keep on seeking until the fullness of the gift of the Father is at work in us. And we will do that until your return.